Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is crazy. So, a family is suing because a Florida doctor, during a man's surgery, he removed the liver instead of the spleen. That's a pretty important. It was at the Ascension Sacred Heart Emerald Coast Hospital in Miramar Beach. It's under investigation after a surgery last month ended tragically. The family claims the doctor removed the wrong organ, leading to the man's death. 70-year-old William Bryan and his wife were visiting their rental property. He felt pain on his left side. They went to the hospital. The doctor, Shaknovsky, diagnosed a spleen surgery, urged it to be performed by him. They apparently performed the surgery, and there's like a lot of stuff that happened. They were trying to transport him to a different hospital. He said he'd bleed to death if he moved. They found out that they said a pathologist told Beverly that a bag labeled spleen actually contained the guy's liver. And then when they performed the autopsy, he still had his spleen. Oh my gosh. This is crazy. Now, this guy apparently has 14 years experience in medicine, but it's his second wrong site surgery in 2 years. A previous case was settled at the same facility just last year. Holy cow.
So he had a good liver and a bum spleen.
And they left the bum spleen and took out the good liver.
Good Lord.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know.
What's the payout on a lawsuit like that? What do you
right?
think?
I don't even know.
It'd have to be.
That hospital's going to have to close. This is no way. Oh. A Florida man tries to pass off a DUI by swapping seats with a passenger after the crash. Guys, that's never going to work. That's just not. This is Fox 5, 35 Orlando, Volusia County. A Florida man was taken to jail last week for driving under the influence in Volusia County. Lance Green, 59, of Port Orange, was arrested on charges of DUI and resisting an officer without violence, according to the affidavit. Deputies responded to a crash, and they said that in the report, the passenger in the pickup truck, it rear-ended another truck. A Ram rear-ended a Ford. And the Ford passenger was injured but declined medical attention. The guy who's in the Ram swapped seats with the female passenger in an effort to portray her, the woman named Susan Green, as the driver and not Mr. Gray. So the officers ordered Gray, who showed signs of impairment, to exit the vehicle multiple times. He refused. He ultimately complied but refused certain DUI tests. He said due to back and hip problems. He also declined a breathalyzer. He was booked into jail and $2,000 bond. Why didn't he just have her drive in the first place? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Of course, you know, then there's this woman. Florida woman, mayor of Naples, Florida, was arrested for a DUI after she blew twice the legal limit, followed a couple home, crashed into their mailbox, and just parked right on their lawn. That's a problem. She was arrested. She followed this couple home in her car while she was drunk, ran into their mailbox via law and crime, and then parked on their front yard. She's also literally the mayor of Naples. Oh my gosh, she's got a count of driving under the influence, according to Collier County Sheriff's. It happened on August 28th. A man had to call 911. He said they were being followed home by this car. She did not know them. That's the thing. She didn't know them. And the man in 911, when he called 911, he goes, quote, this is the readout of the call, quote, "Yeah, I think the mayor is drunk. And she just drove over our mailbox." And the dispatcher goes, "The mayor did?" And he goes, "I don't know. She's claiming to be the mayor. I don't know who she is." And the dispatcher inquires, "Did she ever tell you her name?" And the man asks the woman in the yard, "What is your name, ma'am?" And the woman yells back, "Mayor Teresa Heitman." Oh boy. And then the police arrived. They said, "Ms. Mayor, will you come over here for me right now?" And she said, "No, don't call me mayor." Oh my gosh. She goes, "I'm Teresa Heitman right now. I am not the mayor." Oh my gosh. It is so bad. It is so bad. And there's no answer as to why she followed the couple home. None. So, okay, you know. Now, this Florida school district bans a popular alphabet manga. It's an LGBT, popular, really, LGBT manga. Nobody reads LGBT manga. And instead, they suggested Chainsaw Man in its place. Now, Chainsaw Man is an absolute amazing substitute. Excuse me. Now, some of the people in the news don't think so, because they just see Chainsaw Man and they're like, what in the world is this? What? But they said they were complaining because apparently the manga covered sexual themes of an age-inappropriate sort. It comes down to age appropriateness. That's what apparently these people don't realize. They think age inappropriateness somehow equates to banning. No, it's age inappropriateness. Imagine if you had a GPS for your body's engine in your hands. That's exactly what you get with Lumen, the world's first handheld metabolic coach. Lumen is a breath-based metabolism tracker. It's a little tiny, see? You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day, and you get a metabolism snapshot and personalized nutrition plan. Then the app tells you if you're burning fat or if you're burning carbs. And when your metabolism is firing on all cylinders, you get a whole bunch of other benefits. I mean, you get smoother weight management, a boost in energy, enhanced fitness results, and even better sleep. But it doesn't stop there. This very nifty little device also adjusts its advice to keep your metabolism in check through hormonal shifts. So taking all factors into account, it's all based on real-time data and proven science. With Lumen, you're always in the driver's seat. So take the guesswork out and know with real data what your body needs. Take the next step in improving your health and visit lumen.me/Dana Show to get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show for 15% off of your purchase. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. So we have the debate next week. This is a big week for me because Beetlejuice came out. And a big, like, 7-day spread, Beetlejuice came out, Space Marine 2 is out today, and the debate's next week. I mean, I feel like a little kid where, you know how excited you were as a little kid when it was, like, a cartoon on in the evening, and you got new crayons, and, you know, you got a snack, and you could sit in front of the television and color, and eat it, like, at night, watching a cartoon. It's like, that's how I feel right now. It's the little things in life, you know? But I bring this up because where the polls are right now, and it's been showing Trump and Harris kind of neck and neck, and then it showed Harris with a little bit of a bounce. I think that's maybe maybe sort of left over from the convention. I think convention bounces are going away. We haven't really seen that play out a lot in the past several years. Everything's been changing. And I also think how we consume media is affecting that. But the debate, I think, is where we're going to get a real measure, a real actual feel, because everything's going to, I think a lot of things are going to change after the debate with the surveys, with the polling. Right now it had Kamala Harris kind of in the lead. And I think some of this is independents and moderates. And I've been reading different think pieces on it because everybody's trying to get into the psychology of why it is the way it is. And it's not that I think that these surveys are wrong. I don't think that they were wrong in 2022. They were warning of a red wave that literally never materialized. Same in 2020. The Republican enthusiasm was down, and the RNC had no idea how to turn that around. And I haven't seen them. I still question as to whether or not they're being very effective at that right now. But I think this debate, depending on how it pans out, is going to shift everything pretty significantly, and early voting will be starting. That's especially in some of these earlier states. I think North Carolina, I think theirs is the first. And it's been such a shortened, let me put it like this. I've never been in a weirder election cycle. And when I'm breaking down how to present certain things to you, it's been made exponentially more difficult because of what Democrats have done on their side. Trump got started super early, which was annoying because it dragged out the whole election cycle to be a lot earlier. So we couldn't chill, as you know, for a little bit. But then all of a sudden, after it dragged out and it seemed as though enthusiasm was plateauing, then you had this huge shakeup on the left, which was kind of a jolt to their plateaued enthusiasm. But then it also meant a hyper condensed campaign time for them, like a 6-week period, essentially. And now we're getting into the last legs of that. And so this debate is supremely important, very important. I'm not quite sure this is, and of course, Trump, I think, also started early because of the lawsuits. But this is, I think he's going to do well. I think that the people who support Trump and who are going to vote Republican are going to walk away still supporting Trump and voting Republican. Same thing for the Harris side of the equation. It all comes down on everything determined in the margins and where those independents and moderates are. Do you think that those people are going to be swayed by her woman shtick? She's going to be playing the woman card so much. I kind of want to skip next week, to be honest, right?
She may also.
I mean, really. If he needs to stick on the economy and the border, he needs to bring everything back to the economy, everything back to the border, because she's going to do everything she can to be like, you're a man dominating me, blah, blah, blah. That's why she wanted the unmute button didn't want the mute button. That's how she is going to try to game this. She does not have the record to be able to authoritatively stand toe to toe on achievements. She just doesn't. So she's got to think of something else. She's got to go to identity politics. She's got to do all that stuff. And that's they have to play that. Although I don't know if that's going to work. And here's why. Kamala Harris has the same lack of likability that Hillary Clinton had in 2016. It's very similar. I had a piece, and I think it was over at Forbes. This was like way back in 2020, where someone on the left had remarked that it was a talking head on the left who had remarked that the absence of any amiability that Harris has or doesn't is very similar to how the left also felt towards Hillary Clinton. You know what I mean? She's not like Margaret Thatcher. Seemed empathetic, and you know, she was a ball buster, but smart, kind, but empathetic. And even Barbara Bush, to an extent, is like that. You look at Kim Reynolds in Iowa, governor of Iowa. She's very much like that. You know, a ball buster, empathetic. She's a very popular governor. There are these traits that these female leaders have where they don't eschew that empathetic quality, and they have that ability to resonate with voters and speak to them on that level and still be something other than a politician to them. Whereas all Hillary Clinton is to these people is a politician, and that's all she's ever wanted to be, because that's how she and third wave and fourth wave define women, by the what you are, not who you are. And Harris is the same way, and I think these... really, it gets into the psychology of it, but I think it really, really undercuts them at the ballot box. And I think this is going to be the same problem. I wanted to play this. Audio Soundbite 16. Huma Abedin. They're still going with this. And this is setting up because they're supporters of Harris. And, you know, she's dating George Soros' son.
And you're also aware of the role that sexism and misogyny and racism has played in our political cycles. So I'm curious, do you think that America's evolved, watching what we witnessed in 2016 and the role particularly that sexism played then, have we evolved to have women in leadership roles in this country?
Really? What part did sexism play in 2016? You had a woman who didn't outright win her primary. Hillary Clinton did not win the Democrat primary in 2016. Bernie Sanders legitimately won it. They cheated in Texas, and then they cheated with superdelegates to give her the nomination because it was hers. That's the opposite of sexism. That is the opposite of discriminating against her because of her sex and denying her an opportunity. In fact, that's sexism towards men, because the man was discarded and Hillary Clinton was promoted outside of their system to be the nominee. And it's very similar to what we're seeing with Kamala Harris now. They threw out the dude and they promoted the woman. No one voted for her. There's no primary or caucus where they walked away choosing Kamala Harris as the party nominee. She was just coronated. That's all it was. They had a period of time where they went on a PR offense. They had a huge PR campaign, and they were convincing everyone not to revolt at the DNC. That's all that was. Don't revolt. Just go along with it. And everyone dutifully did. All the sheep, they were herded into the pen, and they dutifully did so. She was coronated. So how are you questioning whether or not this is an issue of sexism when you had back-to-back, like, two females who were given the nomination because they were female? I mean, keep in mind, Joe Biden picked Kamala Harris because he promised James Clyburn and all the voters that he was going to pick a female of color. How is that sexism? Unless you want to argue that it's pandering to say that irregardless of merit, we're picking someone because they're a woman. Now, that is pandering. It's condescending. You, a smart person, would define that as sexism. But if it's an advantage for the left, then they don't mind using that sexism to their advantage. They only claim it's sexism if it disadvantages them in some way. Otherwise, they're happy to use it and call it empowerment. So this is a weird, that was such a weird take that they're even having this conversation going into this. And I hope that Trump notices this, because this will flavor some part of the debate or some part of the question. Dana Bash asking the questions, being the debate moderator, this will be a part of the debate. She will ask some sort of question that is flavored with that sentiment. And I hope Trump is seasoned and that he can turn that around and offset it and make it look dumb. Our partners at Help Bring You Free Radio, it's the folks over at Kel-Tec, the P15. If you haven't seen the P15 yet, you need to check it out. It is the lightest, thinnest double stack 9mm on the market. And that comes in two versions. You have the polymer version and then you have the metal version. The metal version is really cool. It's beautiful. You know, those walnut wood grip panels. And it's ideal for concealed carry, from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. And it's, you know, just game changing innovation from Kel-Tec. You have the tritium and fiber optic front sight. You got the fully adjustable 2-dot rear as well. It's super light and only 1.27 approximately inches wide. It's just awesome concealability. And you don't have to sacrifice stopping power at all. Check it out. It's the P15, only at KeltecWeapons.com. KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently, a new study, being mentally resilient could be the key to living longer. All right, duh. Guess what? Breathing air means you're alive. Wearing shoes means that you want stuff on your feet. I mean, this is so stupid.
You mean if you're dumb, you don't survive as long?
So wild. Like, if you don't know not to walk out in traffic, that, you know, it's kind of crazy, right? It's very interesting. Anyway. Also, moving up, bacteria can survive being zapped in the microwave. I don't like that at all. Wall Street Journal has a story. Yeah, I don't like that. They've been doing studies on this, and they found 747 kinds of heat-resistant microbes flourishing in microwaves. And you just got to put alcohol on everything. Just put alcohol or bleach on everything. I live by that. I'm telling you. That's just what you got to do. That's what you got to do. Space Marine 2 is out today. Literally, I could stop the show right now and go play it. I could leave this broadcast right now. It's Warhammer 40K, Space Marine 2.
It's only for those pre-order people, though, right?
Yeah, it's only for the pre-order people. Gotcha. A special people who pre-ordered it. It is out now, and you can play it now, but only if you pre-ordered it. And so I'm staying here and doing a service right here. I'm not being a 15-year-old boy and running away and playing a video game. I'm not. I'm telling you, I'm not. Canada is turning away more foreigners amid what they said is a rise in anti-immigration sentiment. First off, let's correct something about this stupid headline from The Guardian, which is nothing more than Karl Marx's toilet paper. The accurate way to say it is that they are turning people away who are entering illegally and falsely claiming amnesty or asylum. And there is a rise in a decrease in tolerance for illegal immigration and illegal entry. That is the thing. Stop saying that it has to do with immigration. It has, because people who immigrate to the United States also don't like illegal immigration. So stop it. I mean, how racist is that? That's what the left thinks. The left thinks that people who immigrate to the United States can't dislike illegal immigration because they assume that they're all minorities. And all minorities think alike, right? That's what Democrats think. That's honestly what they think. They're some of the most racist POSs. The most racist people I've ever met in my life have always been on the left.
The Borg.
Horrifically racist.
The Borg.
It is. But that's how they think. Southern California, heat wave, temperatures up to 119 degrees. Well, guess what? It's summer. It's in a desert. Yeah. Did you see the headlines where they said now there's been, 50 consecutive days of 100 degrees in Arizona? Again, summer, desert, yeah. It's kind of how that works. And in other news, the ocean is wet. Slightly moist near the Sargasso Sea, which we also know is Kane's favorite word.
It wasn't even necessary for you to say.
Well, it is.
Not really.
It's a headline. It's a real headline that I just said right now.
It's not a headline.
The ocean is moist. It is. It's very... He hates that and old people. I mean, I don't know. I can't deal with him. I'm trying real hard. Now they're trying to say that Trump has to stop using the song, Hold On, I'm Coming at rallies. There was a federal court judge. I love that they're just... It's a Sam and Dave 1960 soul classic, Hold On, I'm Coming. He apparently was using it at rallies. Well, if you're paying like BMI or ASCAP, if you're a musician and you license out your work to BMI, ASCAP, etc., that means other people can pay to license it to use it for their events. Then you don't get to complain about it. So shut up and choke on your money and just be happy, right? At least you know where your money's coming from, unlike some people on the right who are just cashing checks from Russians and not even checking. What? We're going to talk about that coming up. Seriously, I hate everything. Isaac, it came on behalf of the Isaac Hayes estate, that lawsuit. We've got a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Do you think there could be a gay James Bond?
I mean, guys, please. Let's be adult in the room for a second. There is no way around the fact that nobody would ever know James Bond desires, period. Having said that, now, the important thing is that he does his missions properly.
Or maybe, I don't know, people could get off their lazy intersectional asses and write their own character that's, you know, a spy thriller, and then they can foist whatever gender identity they want up on that character instead of trying to appropriate a long-established character and reconfigure it into something that it isn't. Stop being lazy. Maybe be a little bit more imaginative. I mean, hell, if you can imagine that you don't have a penis, then maybe you can imagine yourself a whole brand new character, you know? I mean, good grief. I mean, where does the imagination go? Apparently not very far with some of these folks.
So true.
Right? I mean, you can sit here and imagine that, you know, your vagina is a schlong, but you can't sit here and imagine like a brand new character. You got to appropriate something else. I mean, my gosh, I thought you people were imaginative. Try harder. So annoying. Good on Daniel Craig sitting there. He's like, are you kidding me? I get these stupid questions. Who asks that? See, if I were one of these directors, I would hire someone for these events that specifically goes out into the audience and slaps one of these reporters for asking stupid questions. And then you got to sit down now. And he's got to be kind of cagey about it. Why be cagey? Just say no. Just say no. No. By the way, I went and saw Beetlejuice last night. I actually saw Dean Cain at the theater. They had a few people out for a thing that they did for God's Not Dead, but I was going to the same theater. And I went and saw Beetlejuice, and it was great because Tim Burton rejects wokery. He is not a woke dude. And they had like one thing in there, like a headline that talked about climate change for the Zoomers. But then they made fun of it because Catherine O'Hara's character, Delia, had said, you can go ahead and give up your inheritance and go live on a tree hugger salary is what she'd said at one point. And I laughed out loud. It was legit funny. It was a non-woke, nice, nostalgic, early fall, late summer romp. It was very good. So you will not be disappointed if you go see it. It was very good. It was nostalgic. There were some very, you know, you're never going to recapture like the original spark, but you can come pretty close. And it made sense as this sequel. It made sense as a storyline. It didn't seem like it was cobbled together to do like a money chasing sequel. It was good. It made sense. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it yesterday. And the and Michael Keaton is always amazing. Monica Bellucci is like one of the most beautiful women in film. She's in this. She, and of course, she's Tim Burton's girlfriend now. He's got a thing for putting his ladies in. She was really a really good character in this. But she's in it. She's, you know, has a, delivers a fabulous performance. Justin Theroux was so, I hated him. He was very good in his role. I hated him. I wanted to punch him in the face in this. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to give anything away. But we, I didn't get the popcorn bucket. You know why? Because these little snots went out and all got the popcorn bucket. I wanted to get the sandworm popcorn bucket. It's all I wanted. It's my birthday month. I wanted the sandworm popcorn bucket. And it was gone. And I'm not going to say that I didn't have the sads, because I did, and I'd be lying. But it was a good movie, and I, you know, was able to get my Sour Patch Kids and all that, which is truly, by the way, the king of theater candy. And if you disagree, think you might be a communist. Just saying.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.